Standing Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. It is good to get together in a worship service where everybody can sit close together. At Cornerstone, we are still trying to do the social distancing. We're out in the gym and we have assigned seats for everybody to sit as families, and we're spread out. And we've talked about it. We said there's just something that's not right when you, what fellowship means, close together. And I appreciated that, and I enjoyed that here this morning. Extend welcome to each and every one here. If you get up to in Cornerstone area of our church there, stop by. And we enjoy visitors as well. This message this morning, I'm going to start with a very elementary question for the children. And the question is this: is the sun shining? One of the children want to answer that for me. Yes. How do you know? And I don't mean it for a trick question. How can you tell? Do you see? Now, if I was to draw a picture and make it look like the sun is on my picture of a landscape, I would put a round circle, and I would put some notches on the outside or some lines going out from it. And then when you look at that picture, you would say, yes, that's the sun there. And it's shining on that picture. But when you said that the sun is shining this morning, I don't see no round ball. Well, I'm trusting that you probably knew the sun was shining because there's some sun rays. There's something that comes from the sun, and you see it hitting on the windowsill, you see it hitting on the trees out there. There's something that comes from the sun. And you know it's shining because of that. And you also know that when a cloud gets in between, there's a shadow that comes across. But if it was a cloudy day, I trust you would say this, that the sun is still shining. How do we know? Well, see, it's just part of exercising faith, because we've known of people that have flown above the clouds, and if you ever flew, you know that as soon as you get through it, you have sunshine in the cabin of the plane again. The sun is still up there shining, even if it is cloudy and you can't see the sun and the effects, the rays of the sun here on this earth. You don't see it as much, but we still have light. But it does get darker. Well, just a few facts before we get into this message some more. This is approximate numbers. But the sun is approximately 93 million miles away. That's the approximate distance. And light travels at 186,282 miles per second. I trust my figuring all comes out right. If you convert that to mile per hour, which is what we oftentimes relate to here in this earth as we drive vehicles, that would convert to about 670,616,629 mile per hour. Now, to get our minds to grasp that number, that means that the light could travel around the world, around the earth, about 7.5 times in 1 second. Tick. 7.5 times around. That's fast. Light travels very, very fast. Takes that light that we are seeing, takes that light from the sun to here, approximately 8 minutes to reach us. As that ray of light leaves the sun, 8 minutes to reach us. It's amazing as you ponder that, and what the creation that God has created. Well, this morning, that's some statistics, and that about the sun that we know in this world, the S-U-N. Well, we're going to take some things this morning for this message, and we're going to take it from the Son, the S-U-N, and we're going to look at some things that are what the Bible says about the Son of God, the S-O-N. And we're going to look at that this morning and how that applies to us. Now, I've titled the message, Is the Sun Shining? S-O-N. Is the sun shining in your life today? I have six points for the message here. As we think of the sun, and the one that we know today as it shines on our earth, turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And let's go to where this was created. And I'd like to take the time to read Genesis chapter 1, verses 14 through 19. And just look at as that sun was created. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. We know the sun, as we see it today, is that greater light that God created. Because it shines in our daytime, it gives us light that we can work by. And we also know that the lesser light is the moon, which is a reflection of the light that comes from the sun. Well, the first point I have is this. The sun that we see today is predictable. God created it at creation. It is there. Now you can go through, you Bible readers know that there was a time when the sun was turned back. There was a time when it, over the crucifixion, when it was dark, when it should have been light, but it was dark. But that's, beyond that, it is predictable. I knew that according to when my alarm clock rang this morning, that it was going to be getting light. I knew that. Because the sun is predictable, and we can set our clocks by it. We know it's another day. And it's coming. Well, how does this apply to our Son of God? He's predictable. He's predictable. If we go in Genesis to the Garden of Eden, it was promised that there is going to be a son born that is going to bruise that serpent's head. And it happened. That before that even happened, there was prophets that came along even in the Old Testament that prophesied of His coming. And in Luke chapter 2, we have those words in there. And when the fullness of time was come, it was the proper time. It was when God wanted it. It was just right. It is all in God's plan. God's plan is predictable. He is going to. No, we can't look at it. But what I'm saying that is, He had a purpose and a plan, and He didn't deviate from that plan. James 1 verse 17 said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God is predictable. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you thankful that we serve a God and that His Son came and paid that price for our redemption? And that price has been paid. And it doesn't change. He paid that price. He made the plan of salvation for you and I. And it doesn't change. It's there for us. We don't have to wonder about whether it's going to be available for us and for the next generation. But it's going to be there. It's predictable. as long as time remains, the plan of salvation will be there. The second point, as we think of the sun that lights the earth, it gives light, okay? Very, very foundational. The sun gives light. There's many verses we could turn to as we think of this. And Jesus being the light of the world, the Son of God being the light of the world. And turn with me in your Bibles to John. And we're going to read some verses here. John chapter 9, verse 5. I think we should break in at verse 4 there. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's Jesus' words there. I am the light of the world. I am the light that you need in this world. John chapter 1. Turn with me back a few chapters here. John chapter 1. Let's read the first five verses. The first three verses there, it's getting a foundation of that Jesus, the Son, is the Word. And let's read first five verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We see that light, that Jesus that came into the world, the darkness of the world, the light came in. What happened to the darkness? It had to go. What about that light that's in us today? Is the Son of God in us? I'm going to read some verses in Matthew chapter 5. We know this is a Sermon on the Mount. As Jesus is talking to the people there, as he has sat down there talking to them. And let's read verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Ye, you and I are the light of the world. As we let the Son of God, Jesus, affect our lives and change our lives, we are called to be the light in the world. We're the light that other people see. And people are drawn to light. The Bible says, unless your deeds are evil. They like the darkness if their deeds are evil, but the light is something that we all enjoy, and it has a drawing effect. What is your life like today? What is my life like? Is it radiating that light of the sun to a lost world about us? Is the sun shining in your life? Can people see Jesus shining through your life? I'd like to read a few more verses in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. I'm going to read actually the first 5 to 10. This then is the message which ye have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Did you grasp that? There is no darkness with God. No darkness. His light is there. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. as I read those verses and ponder this light of Jesus in our lives, we can know that we have the light by the fruit that we are bearing, by the relationship we have with one another, by the fellowship we have, it says there. Verse 7, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to our lives. It's made a difference, and the light is shining out. Point 3, is the sun shining? Well, the sun, we need the natural sun to produce life. Without the sun, there would be no life. Plants use a process called photosynthesis. They capture the sun rays, and it produces life in that plant. I enjoy sometimes in the fall or in the springtime planting some little seeds in our house, and I'm not sure what I did wrong this year. But it didn't grow so good. I'm not sure if I didn't have the right light to them or what it was. But I think some of it was the light. There wasn't enough heat and not enough light where I had them at. And they wanted to die. Well, the sun. Without the sun, there would be no life for the plants and for us as humans. We need that. John 3. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 3. And a lot of our verses here this morning are going to be taken from John. I'm jumping all over, I know. There's a lot of verses here. But I like Scripture can speak to each and every one. And verses are good for us to read. John chapter 3. And this is the story of Nicodemus. And we're going to read the first 9 verses of John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? This point, as I think of the life, if we're going to be able to experience the rays of the Son of Jesus, or the Son of God, Jesus, shining in our lives, it needs to start with a new birth experience. There is no other way. There is no other way. John 10 verse 1 is that parable. If anyone that climbs up another way, the same is a thief and a robber. There is no other way. Satan comes and he tries to make other ways, and you can be good on yourself. You can't. You must accept Jesus and come and cast yourself down. Be done with self. There's nothing that you can do of yourself to get salvation and to get the life that the Son gives. That new birth experience. The Son of God produces life in us through that new birth experience. The same as God, Jesus was calling Nicodemus there to avail himself to. The fourth point of the message. The sun, the natural sun, produces health. Produces health. Your body draws vitamin D from the sun, and it probably does some other things too, but vitamin D is one I'm very familiar with, because I got a rash that grows in my arms, and sometimes on my knees as well, and it's called psoriasis. Now, if anybody has heard about it, I don't mean to blow that out. But the fact is that there's one thing that takes care of it or helps it, and that is the sun. And that vitamin D that comes in through the sun will really diminish the effects of that. But my doctor tells me it's good to get out in the sun. You need more of it than the normal person. I understand that some people with this condition even go to the Dead Sea. And I understand that's one of the places where the sun is the most direct there. And between the salt water of the Dead Sea and the direct sunlight, they have people that will come out and look at the rash that you have and say, yeah, you need so many minutes in the lake and sitting out on the beach. You need so many minutes, and it'll cure it. Why? Because the sun produces health with that vitamin D. I was talking to a fellow the other day and about this COVID that's going around. And he said, you'll be amazed. And I think he's right. You'll be amazed how the effects of this COVID are going to diminish as people get more healthy with this vitamin D that they can soak up from the sun. Doesn't totally take care of it, but it builds your immune system. Vitamin D is needed for health and to maintain strong bones. Vitamin D, it helps your body to absorb the calcium that it has. And it's one of your bones' main building blocks of what calcium is. As you take in calcium, it helps it to apply it to your body. How does the Son of God produce health to us? Proverbs 3, verse 7 and 8 says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It's your focus. Are you focused on the sun or aren't you? Well, we just read in the last point about from John chapter 1. We read the first three verses there as Jesus is the Word and it's talking about there. In Him was life. There's health there. The Word is living. It's a living Word. The Son of God, is it producing health in you? Is it living in you and producing health? Hebrews chapter 4, I want to read that verse as well. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I don't have that in my notes. 4 verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. In your body, this vitamin D comes into your body and is on your skin, from what I understand. And I'm not a doctor. I don't know all this thing. This is what I understand and hear. And maybe man don't even understand it all, but I understand that it's important that you, as this vitamin D comes from the sun and is on you, it's even important not to wash it off right away. Because as it sits there, your body continues to absorb that. As it goes into your body, there's cells that are going around in your bloodstream. They're carrying food and oxygen through it. This produces health. Now you hear people today as they get the COVID, sometimes it'll affect people hard. Why? And they end up in the hospital. Why? When the next one gets it, and it's so mild of a side effect. believe this is why. Because their bodies can fight it off. In their bloodstream, there is a kind of like a war going on. And when these blood cells see these bad germs come in, it attacks it and destroys it and bottles it up so it doesn't affect your body. Well, the Son of God today should be doing the same in your life. As you go through life and you have these unhealthy thoughts, maybe it's something you see that feeds in through your eyes. As you have a relationship with the Son, it's going to attack that, and we're going to say, no, we can't go there. Son of God is going to help produce health in your body as you refrain from letting those things feed in your life. We must watch what we are feeding into our lives. The same as this is in our body, it watches what for germs are there. So we must watch what is being fed into our life. And we must be willing to take care of that, destroy it, subdue it in our lives. The same as it is in our bloodstream today. And the Son of God helps us to do that. As we have good health, good spiritual health in Him, it'll help to produce that. The fifth point. The Son, now the natural Son, produces happiness. Studies have been done that when the sun isn't shining, people are easily depressed. Easier depressed, I guess we could say. What happens when we see the sun shining? Our body recognizes sunlight through the optic nerve in our eye. The gland in the brain which regulates melatonin slows its function, and serotonin levels increase. If you ever take any sleep aid, a lot of times it has that melatonin in it. Slows you down. Slows your body down. When light is diminished, the body increases the secretion of melatonin into your bloodstream, and the secretion of serotonin is decreased. So the study says that a higher level of serotonin tends to make a person happier. So that's why when you have sunlight, it just seems like your day got so much brighter. Maybe it doesn't for you. I've felt that already. A dreary day, you just can sometimes feel like you're just dragging through the day. And boom, the sun comes out. Oh, it's so much nicer. It has affected me already. There's a scientific reason for it. But what about the Son of God in your life? Is He producing happiness? You see, the difference is in where we live today, we have nighttime when the sun goes down. And so we need that melatonin to come into our system so that we can sleep properly. So we can wake refreshed for another day. We need that. In our spiritual life, we don't need that. We can have the Son of God with us all the time, feeding on that serotonin that comes from Him. And we can have happiness all the time because He has done so much for us. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice, be happy about it, of what Jesus has done for you. Nehemiah 8, verse 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. As Nehemiah is talking there, He's your strength. Are you rejoicing in that? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, rejoice evermore. I'm going to return to John. John chapter 15, verse 9 through 11. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. God's love to us is there. He wants his Son to, his love to abide in us. That your joy might, my joy might remain in you. So he wants the Son of God, the Son, to be in you. And that joy to be in your life. And as that Son is there, it's going to be radiating out and affecting others. His joy remain in you, and your joy is going to be full. Happiness, sure it is. Jumping back to chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's peace is there for us. We have that. We can be happy and have happiness in life as we have the Son of God in us. The Son has all things to inspire you on. He has everything that it takes for you to have that joy in your life. And he also has that, what it takes to have you have peace in your life. You can have that peace. Are you thankful for that? Well, the world pushes for happiness today. The world, too, wants to have happiness. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that there is no true happiness outside of Jesus Christ. True happiness is going to be found there as the Son is shining in your life and you're living for Him. That'll be true happiness. The last point I have is we think of the natural sun. The natural sun produces energy. I don't know. I didn't see any solar fields around here as I was driving here. Of course, it was dark when I was driving here, but I'm sure you know what they are. You've probably seen them. Those solar fields where they put solar panels, big field full of them. What are those for? They're man trying to harness the rays of the sun and produce energy from it. Trying to make it into something that he can put to work for him. They predict that the sun is 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and I don't know how they ever figure that out, but be that as it may, that is hot. They say that in 1 hour of solar energy as the sun is shining on the earth, there's enough energy in that to meet the world in 1 hour. To meet the world's needs for a year of electricity. That's a lot of energy. It's a lot of energy. It is there in abundance. As man tries to harness that to produce electricity, it's there in abundance. Well, the Son of God produces energy as well. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. I'd like to read two verses. First John chapter 2, verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. I'm going to cease reading there. The Son of God produces energy as it gives us energy to overcome. We find that in the end of verse 14. The young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. He gives you the power to be an overcomer. You don't need to continue to bounce along in life right there. Am I the child of God or am I serving self in the world? He gives you the energy to live way above that. Where you can have the peace in knowing that I'm serving Him. I'm focused on Him. I'm striving to serve Him with my whole heart. He gives you the energy to overcome the wicked one and to say no to him and those temptations. How close are you to Him? How close are you tied into His energy bank? His Word. The people you fellowship with. Those that it would strive to help you through. Are you open to that? Well, if we jump back to First John chapter 2, verse 1 there says, My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There is the Son, giving you the energy as he is there. Advocate with us. Washing our sins away. Hebrews 7. I'd like to read a verse there. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is interceding for us. As we are availing ourselves to His energy that He has to be an overcomer. Why? Because He is interceding for us. He's pleading on our behalf. We can go to that and realize He wants the best for us. He wants us to become stronger. Are you growing in Him? Are you availing yourself to that energy? As the Son produces energy on this earth, so the Son of God produces energy for you to live above sin. John 15, verse 10, If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And I read this verse as we think of love. The Father, the Son is producing, can produce love in our lives. As we let Him in our life, it produces love. The natural sun produces warmth in that energy. As that sun rays go forth, it produces energy, and with that is warmth as well. It's part of that energy. I'd like to take that into the spiritual context as our Son of God produces that warmth as well, and that is the love. As we are walking with Him, as we are living a life of overcoming this world, it helps us to have a love one for another and a love for the world. They can have what we have. Two closing verses. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is writing to Timothy here, verse 11. We're going to start reading at verse 11. Now let's read verse 10 because we're going to break in if we don't. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that is the Son of God right there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. In verse 12, we see that there is going to be persecution. There is going to be times of trial in your life. There's going to be times when you're going to feel like that melatonin's kicking in. But don't go on feelings. Do what it says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them from, the Son of God living in you. You rest assured that He's living in your life. You've done everything you can to give your life to Him, and you can have assurance that you are living for Him. And the struggles and the trials are just a step in making you stronger for Him. Well, the opposite of that is, if we don't grow and we don't become stronger, we're going to probably let discouragement set in to our lives. Brothers and sisters, discouragement is one of the tools the devil likes to use. If he can get you discouraged, you're going to forget that the sun is shining. You're going to forget to avail yourselves to the health that can come through the sun. And it's going to take you down. Is the sun shining? Sure he is. He's shining in this world today. And I trust he's shining in your lives today. He is victorious and he will be victorious at the end of time. The question is he shining in your life, in my life today? Can the world see him shining in our lives? How will they know? Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You go read that list. That's the sun shining in your life. When you have that shining from your life as well, that's his work in your life. I trust that is your testimony this morning. Let us kneel for prayer.